You son of a bitch.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of No Time to Bleed. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
And Terrence. All right, guys, we're back. This episode of No Time to Bleed is all about the... This is a very 2000s-ish movie. The 2009 American vigilante action film, Law Abiding Citizen. Now, you two have seen this movie and you were very excited to do this. I've never done this movie, or I've never seen this movie until now. This is obviously starring Jamie Foxx and Gerard Butler, American actor Gerard Butler, directed by F. Gary Gray. It is about a man who is wronged by the system and decides to wage a one-man war against said justice system. I'll start with Micah and then go to Terrence, and then I'll give my thoughts last since this is my first time seeing this.
Yeah, so this is a different type of film than we normally do for No Time to Bleed, right? Normally for No Time to Bleed, it's something that's a little more lighthearted.
Usually, that wasn't the word I was going to go with, but go ahead.
Usually, right? Like, I mean, not all. This ain't Rambo, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was gonna use a word that starts with the same letter as Rambo, but go ahead.
But it's not Commando either, right? So it's somewhere in between. But this movie is very much a fantasy movie, and I'm all about my action thriller movies with antagonists that are God and can do everything. This movie is an F. Gary Gray movie, and you know what that means. It's all right.
Yeah,
it's all right.
I'll watch the shit out of an F. Gary Gray movie, man.
Yeah, man. Like, they're generally not bad. The worst you get is all right. And the best you get is Straight out of Compton, which was pretty goddamn good. So, yeah. This movie is all right, man. I dig it. I dig it. What do I want to give this? I'll give this 85. I don't even know what to give it because it's so ridiculous. Like, it's a fucking movie. It's so stupid. I'll give it 85 tunneling into a prison.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I saw this movie in the movie theater when it came out, and I always have to give the anecdote that there was one section of the movie where the whole entire crowd was like, God damn, and I was sitting next to an old white man. And he gave the exact same reaction to this one scene, which I'm sure you know by now. It was glorious. Look, this movie's dumb. It is. It's very dumb. But I love it. Like, it's just so stupid. Like, how? How, my nigga? How? How? Oh, you're a tinkerer. Okay, cool. Whatever, you're fucking Bill Nye the Science Guy. Yeah, and he's, like, taking down the justice system. And I enjoy that. A broken, corrupt justice system. I wish the roles were reversed.
They initially were going to be reversed, but one of the producers came up to Gerard Butler and said, "Hey, we're thinking about you as Clyde and Jamie Foxx as Nick." And he was like, "Oh, okay, whatever, that's awesome." But in an interview, Gerard Butler said that he had suggested that the two roles were switched, but he was kind of overruled by the other producers.
That sucks. Because I would have loved to see Jamie Foxx being the one to fucking kill people. That would have been like,
I feel like if there's a remake of this, you're definitely getting a black guy in that role. 100%.
You kind of have to.
You kind of have to, yeah.
But yeah, this movie, as dumb as it is, again, it's an F. Gary Gray film. Like, he never makes anything bad. Yeah, this is 15 rigged cell phones out of 10. How?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know is the answer to a lot of questions in this movie. I don't know.
They didn't expound on anything.
No, they really.
Like, he's smart.
They just pointed at his head. They just pointed at their own heads and was like, yep, it's all up there. Like I said, this is my first time watching this. I had seen maybe the first 3 minutes and I was like, all right, I'm not watching this Gerard Butler movie. I'm just not. And many people who I think are not that bright really love this movie. And I was like, this sounds like a bunch of garbage. And then you two, who I do respect your opinions, God knows why. But you guys were both like, all right, this is a really good movie. All right. Fine, I'll watch it. You know what? I enjoyed it. It's dumb as shit. It doesn't make any sense. But I enjoyed the hell out of it. It is a quintessential F. Gary Gray movie. Like, it really is. Like, he just has an ability to tell a story, like, just enjoyable. Just a very, like, the way he films and the way he does stuff is very enjoyable. I mean, I got drawn into the story. Like, I'll admit that. Like, it, as ridiculous as it was, I was like, ooh, what's he going to do next? Oh, is he going to blow up the toilet? Like, you know, like what is he going to do from jail? So I enjoyed the story. The violence in the movie seemed over the top for the type of movie it was. I was like.
It really was. I forgot about that prison scene.
Yeah, I was like, yo.
It's like a Saw movie. It's
like bringing it down a little bit, right? It seemed a little over the top. Of course, I mean, this is No Time to Bleed, so violence is totally accepted here. I just found those moments of violence to just be a little out of step with how the rest of the movie felt. You're right. I would have liked to see a black dude in that role. This is definitely during that. I don't know when Stealth came out. I feel like it was like, was that 2000 or like 2005 or something like that?
Stealth was like 2005, 2006.
Okay.
This came out in 2008.
2009. But here's the thing. Jamie Foxx is very much still in his mimicking what an actor is stage of his career. Like, I feel like he hadn't like really kind of done his own thing. Like, he feels like he's like doing a shtick the whole time. Which is fine. Like, I like Jamie Foxx.
He already won for Ray by this time, right?
Did he?
Yeah, Ray came out in the mid-2000s.
Oh, wow. I thought it was after. In the
early 2000s. No.
Well, he still feels very – it still very much feels like old Jamie Foxx to me. I enjoyed this. Like, it is ridiculous. I don't really have a rating as much as I have a question. Who wins in a fight? Is it Clyde Shelton or is it Mike Banning? If you had to put those two characters up against
each other. A fight?
Like a movie character off.
I mean, I hate to do this, right? Because this is the thing that Batman fans people like to do.
Right.
But like, given given prep time,
given 10 years worth of prep time, this nigga can do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. He is more of an evil Batman.
Bannon race. What is his name? Has Fallen.
Oh, it's Mike Bannon.
He wouldn't get the chance to get into the fight.
Right. But he saved the president so many times. There's a lot of people who are too good to be in this movie that are in this movie, which is also weird. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It feels it's about right for the for No Time to Bleed because it is that insane. Incidentally, in development, Frank Darabont was expected to direct this, which is pretty wild too. I could see that. I could totally see that. So, all right. So there you go. That's my thoughts on it.
Gerard Butler has a very, very interesting career.
I'm just saying. You know, how did he make it? Period.
I don't know. Would 300 come out before this?
Yeah, 300 is definitely before this. I'm pretty
came
sure.
Out, yeah, it came out in 2006. And that's the one.
The first thing I ever saw him in.
I mean, he was in like he had a bit role in Tomorrow Never Dies, the James Bond movie.
Did he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he. It was a small role. He had a role in Dracula 2000.
He was Count Dracula.
What?
he had a role in Reign of Fire. Remember that
movie? yes, I do. Oh, my God. That movie is so bad.
He was in 300. He was in...
That's his breakout.
Tales of the Black Freighter as a voice that the Watchmen cartoon spinoff.
He was in Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Okay, I maybe I have seen him other shit before 300. I just didn't know.
He was so in. I did see that. You remember Gamer?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it, but I remember it. Wasn't that done by Neville Dean and Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure? Nope. Yeah, they directed it. They did. I just looked it up.
Neville Dean and Taylor. Yeah.
He was in Rock and Rolla.
He was in How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon. Mark
Neville Dean Brown. Oh, that's right. He was in Machine Gun Preacher. Go fuck off.
Dexter was in Gamer, right? Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't he?
Yeah, this dude kind of started. Yeah. He. Like no, that is a good question. How did he make it? Because all these films are not like good.
Yo, all right, hold on a second. I need people to really realize from arguably 2013 all the way up till last year, he had a hell of a run of garbage. Movie 43, Olympus Has Fallen, How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Is fun.
It is fine.
People love How to Train Your
Dragon. No, I was going to exclude that one. 300 Rise of the Empire. That's a fucking bad movie. Like, that movie sucks.
I don't even know what that is.
Gods of Egypt. London Has Fallen. Geostorm.
I still want to watch Geostorm.
I like Den of Thieves.
I did like Den of Thieves. The Vanishing. Hunter Killer. It's on HBO Max. It's in my list of movies to watch because it looks ridiculous. I kind of want to see it. And then Angel Has Fallen. Like, he had some other movies in there, but like, he had that's a dangerous 6-year run. Yeah. There's a lot of trash in there.
Don't forget Greenland's coming. Well, supposed to have come out, but you know.
Wait, which one is that?
That's the one where the moon gets blown up or something.
No,
no, that's Moonfall.
That's Moonfall.
Greenland.
No. Greenland. How dare you, Terrence? Excited. How dare you?
No, Greenland is the other one.
No, Greenland is scientists discover the fragments of a comet that will hit Earth in a few days.
What a goddamn thing.
Whatever. the comet is probably as big as the moon. Yeah. So who cares?
Yeah. Oh, no. I can't wait for Moonfall. What's the premise? The moon falls. Oh, good. Great, guys. Great script. Fuck off. I can't wait for that movie, dude. That's going to be insane. Also... Where are you running to, nigga? The moon fell out of the... Like, that's it. It's a wrap for the Earth. It's gone. It's done. Yeah, no, I can't wait to see Greenland. That sounds awesome. Looks great. All right, let's get...
Yeah, man. This dude has a very weird career. Like, the fact that he is a name in Hollywood...
Yes.
...is amazing to me.
He should not be.
He should not be. I don't want to hear anybody talk about Nicolas Cage ever again.
No, he is the new Nicolas Cage, right? Like, he does the same quality of movies. Like, he does.
Right. Like, get the fuck out of here. At least Nicolas Cage is, like, kind of interesting. Like, he's an Academy Award winner. He plays Mike Banning in different roles. You know what I mean?
It's pretty much Mike Banning in this.
Right. Right.
Yeah, he is. Yes.
I still want to see Geostorm, though. Look, I'm talking all this shit. I'll sit down and watch a Gerard Butler movie, no problem.
Yeah.
The dumber, the better.
Yeah, I like to take my brain out, sit it in the seat next to me. I like the social distance from my brain and then watch his movies. No, they're utterly ridiculous. Doesn't he play like a space scientist?
In Geostorm? Yeah, he's the only one that can stop the Geostorm from happening.
He's a satellite designer.
Or some shit like that. Like, doesn't he literally come from space?
Yeah, he was like, sorry, I was...
He's like, sorry, I was on a fucking... I was on a spaceship. I'm back now. Just to help the planet. It's something like that.
No, that from my understanding, that is the beginning of Geostorm. He shows up to, like, a Congress hearing. He was like, sorry, I was on a satellite. My bad. I'm sorry I was late. Fuck you guys.
All right. This movie takes place in Philadelphia, which makes all the sense in the world.
Tells me everything
when
I need
you
to
watch
know.
This movie. And we see I almost called him Mike Banning. What is his name? Clyde Shelton and his family. And they're just, you know, sitting around, and the movie wastes no time.
It really doesn't.
Yeah, I don't want to hear anything about that movie L, all right? Because this is like basically the same scene.
This is 92 seconds in. Clyde gets a bat to the face, and it's a home invasion. And we never really find out why.
No, they're just robbing. Right. Just robbing.
You know what? You can't run from fate. Like they set up things in this movie, and it's like, why?
Like, we got to come back to that.
What kind of fate? What happened?
Yeah. Did he hurt that guy's uncle or something? Like, why is he so mad?
Right. Like, nah, this is just your fate to die and watch me rape your wife and kill your daughter. Like, it starts with a...
Can I just stop you right there? In this movie, Jamie Foxx is the worst dad. Mike Banning is the best dad because exactly what I would do if I had the knowledge he did. I just called him Mike Banning. Clyde Shelton.
Like, whatever.
Like, I mean, look, let's just all agree his name is Mike Banning.
That's fine. As far as I'm concerned, that is his real name. No, but
like, this was before he became, well, no, he didn't. He died. Whatever. But, or did he?
He might not have.
Who knows? It could have been a clone. He's smart enough.
He's got it all up here. Give him enough prep time. Yeah, I just thought, I was like, this guy's doing exactly what you should do. Like, no, I had no problem with his actions.
I was going to ask you to. You both are husband and wives. I mean, husband and fathers.
This is dad fantasy. This is the ultimate dad movie, right?
Like, everyone, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about a discussion of dad movies, and like, oh, you kind of know a dad movie when you see one. Like, nah, yo, this is the dad movie. Yeah.
Killed my family. What are you gonna do? You're gonna destroy the entire justice system. Wait, what? Why? Okay, all right. Relax.
I mean, they failed.
It did fail them. Yo, yeah. They rolled up in there for no reason, right?
Yeah.
Two, with no masks.
Yeah.
Like, you're just right. Easily identifiable. And they proceed to tie this dude up, talk about fate and destiny and shit, and is about to rape this guy's wife, about to rape this woman. This guy's dying wife's corpse, right? Like, she gets a mortal wound, and then he pulls her pants down. Like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, again, 90 seconds in.
Right.
Jesus.
And then the daughter's there, and the daughter's like, and the homeboy is the second villain. I forget his name. He's sitting there looking at him like, yo, we ain't got time for this. It's like, we got all the time in the world. We doing this for no reason.
Right. Yo, the scenes of him stabbing people is really fucked up.
It's very disturbing because he does it slowly, like in the fucking, like right under the rib cage. I'm like, yo, dude, you're a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, like just She's use crazy. A gun. Yeah, use a gun like a normal person.
Yeah, like a civilized individual.
From a distance.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So yeah, then we get the title card and we get shots of Philadelphia. I mean, it's how anybody can just have pride in Philadelphia is amazing. Like, I don't want to hear anybody from Philadelphia talk about Baltimore because it's the same goddamn place.
No, it is. That's 100% true.
It's the same goddamn place, except Philadelphia got more Wawas. That's it. That's it.
That's funny. It's true. Sounds like true.
I like Wawa. It went down the street from me.
Prosecuting attorney Nick Rice. Doesn't that sound like a white guy's name?
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't that sound like a white guy's
name? What's his name in this movie?
Clyde. Clyde Shelton.
Clyde the Glide Alexander Shelton.
Yeah, Clyde Shelton. Yeah, these roles should have been reversed.
Yeah, 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah, now get the fuck out of here. Clyde Shelton. I don't know no white Clydes.
No.
No. Only white Clyde you know is that character from Peanuts. And he fake.
I don't think I even know who the fuck that is. I honestly don't.
I mean, shit, he might be the black one. No, you know what? The only Clyde I know is Inky, Bink, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde, the fucking Pac-Man ghosts. And even they are colored.
Yeah,
so get the fuck out of here. So, yeah, this should have been flipped. But prosecuting attorney Nick Rice is played by Jamie Foxx. He's a hotshot prosecutor, you know, concerned about his prosecution record, whatever.
Has your wife seen this movie?
No.
I feel like your wife would love this movie because apparently in this film, lawyers have all the power of the police.
Right. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. At one point, Nick Rice, agent of the law, says, "Fuck his civil rights."
I was like, yo, this movie has got a problem. This movie's got a serious problem.
All right. There's so much that we could talk about in this movie, but it's so ridiculous. So yeah, he meets with Clyde Shelton, and he's like, "Look, he is unable to securely convict Darby, the guy who was about to rape his wife, Clyde's wife, due to mishandled evidence." And he's not willing to risk lowering his high conviction rate. So he makes a deal with Darby without talking to Clyde. And the deal is that in exchange for testifying against his accomplice, who was like, "Yo, why are you raping this woman?"
Right. Of the two, he's definitely the more innocent of the two.
Right. He's the innocent criminal. He says, "Hey, you know, testify against your boy and you can plead guilty to third degree murder and receive a lighter sentence." Right. And Clyde is like, "Yo, what? Huh? Like, isn't that like third degree murder? Isn't that only like 5 years?" And Jamie Foxx's character's rationale is that, "Yo, I mean, it's something, right? It's something better than nothing."
I'd have fucked Jamie Foxx up. I would have, man. I'm like, "Look, what else I got to lose? I'm going to fuck you up in this room." Like, when he was like, "Yo, I already made the deal." "Oh, word? Cool.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm going to fuck you up." Like, me, you, and these law books, we're going to be tussling in here. Like, nah, yo, fuck that. But, it's kind of a fucked up situation. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to let the one dude slide? But at the same time, I'd be like, "Yo, that's the guy who raped my wife and stabbed me and killed my wife and killed my daughter." Like,
right. Like, that's the one who actually, that's the trigger man. Yo.
Right. I'd be like, "No, yo, no, put me on the stand." Like, fuck that.
So we cut to, he says, "Look, the deal's done already and I got to go to court." So he goes to court. He gets, Darby to sign the agreement in front of a judge and Darby's lawyer. The definition of a defense attorney, this guy.
Just the worst.
Slimy as shit, right? They come out the courtroom. Press are there because this is a big deal, right? You know, white man gets wronged. So we gotta amass the media. Like,
hey, guys. He's got a Negro lawyer.
At one point, Darby, while in front of the media, Darby comes out and is like being very sarcastic, right? He's like, "Hey, thanks for looking out for me," and then grabs his hand and shit. And Jamie Foxx is like, "Bitch, first of all, Jamie Foxx shakes the guy's hand. Like, "No, get the fuck out of my face. I ain't got to shake your goddamn hand.
I'm not shaking Steve Bannon's hand. Get out of here."
And from a distance, Clyde the Glide sees it. And he's like, so Clyde the Glide, that's his breaking point, right?
Right.
Like he's like, oh shit, like you motherfuckers are all in cahoots. I got something for that ass.
Then he spends the next 10 years prepping in the Batcave, getting ready.
So 10 years later, we see Jamie Foxx is married to Regina Hall, and they have a daughter that looks nothing like that.
Yeah.
Daughter's way too light.
Yeah, thank you, yo. I'm like, what is this, one of the Cosby kids? Get the fuck out of here, yo. Why is she like four shades lighter than them? They're both very brown people. They ain't even trying the cast work. Like, the fuck? Like, come on, man.
And, you know, we see that Jamie Foxx is still, you know, he's a big wig. He's a big deal. Doesn't really have time for his family and stuff like that.
He's a terrible father.
He's kind of a shitty dad. Yeah. He's kind of a shitty dad. Oh, I'm providing, but nah.
You trying to come see your kid? Nah, fuck that kid. Nah, this nigga misses his daughter's recital to watch a nigga die. Like, yo, come on, weird, yo. Yeah. I mean, look, the cello ain't the most interesting thing to listen to, but damn, I'd rather see that than watch someone get injected and dying. Doesn't seem like the same.
So like you said, Ames is convicted. He's sentenced to death. Darby is released after a few years, and Clyde feels betrayed. 10 years later, Ames is executed via lethal injection, but due to a chemical alteration, dies in agonizing pain.
Like, this shit happens without chemical,
right?
In real life, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they fuck it up in real life, which is amazing. Are you drinking White Claw?
No, this is Bohemian Oriel Park beer.
Oh, okay. I was like, yo, that can is looking...
It's a White Claw.
I don't know. But I was wondering why you knew. So I was confused. My bet is a White Claw. This nigga's lying. Yeah, this scene was pretty good. I enjoyed...
It says Bohemian.
Nah,
I don't know, whatever.
All right. That's a Photoshop.
Prison background. Yeah. Just fucking everything.
This scene was pretty good. I liked that they like had all the fucking veins and shit like bulging, like he looked miserable.
I like how they put him in the crucifix pose. Like, nah, yo, they don't do all that.
Arms aren't out like this. They're out a little bit, but they're not out like he's fucking being crucified.
They just craned his ass up. Do you have anything to say? I knew that shit.
On a 45 degree angle.
Right, yo.
In real life.
And he's not staying out. They don't sit him up, yo. Right? So that you can look him dead in the eyes right before he fucking dies. Like, nah, yo, they don't do that shit,
man. Well, frankly, if you're gonna have a chair like this, they should have it facing up when he dies, right? Like when they inject it. Don't lean him back. Fuck that. Like, make him look right in my fucking eyes. Fuck him.
Well, the problem is when you die, you soil yourself, and nobody wants the shit to fall on the floor, right? Like, you gotta, you don't want to scuff the floor, right? You gotta leave it in the bed where you're
cowards
being executed. So, yeah, this dude dies horribly, and it's juxtaposed to the cello recital, which makes me believe that,
watching a recital
is literally torture.
One die. I was watching, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, what's the symbolism here, guys? Listening to children play music is fucking torture. It's the
same as death.
F. Gary Gray hates his own kids. He's like, don't ask me to come to those fucking recitals. I hate them. God damn.
So, yeah, this dude dies. Pretty interesting death scene. The we got a director cameo of F. Gary Gray giving the guys tampered evidence, or not tampered evidence, but evidence which implicates Darby, his buddy, right? So they are hunting for Darby, and we cut to Darby. Darby is living the white man's dream of laying in his Hooverville in a wife beater with a woman who has clearly been abused, right? Like, she's got this huge like bruise on her leg, right?
She's into it.
And she might be. She's a juggie. And he gets a call from someone who we'll find out later. And he's the call warns him and is like, yo, the cops are after your ass. You need to run. And he's like, what the fuck, yo? He's like, look to your south. And
he goes this to the shit window, was funny.
He's like, no, bitch, your other south. To be fair, I wouldn't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Right, how the fuck do I know?
I have to put the compass on my phone and then look at it. But, oh, okay.
Right. Oh, shit, here they come. That's really funny. It's like you're up or so. I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah, what's weird is he grabs a gun, runs out the door, and runs onto the roof, and immediately starts shooting at the cops, which just tells them you're guilty. Why would you do that? Like, just get out of there, dum-dum. And again, Jamie Foxx rolls up with the cops, which is, obviously standard practice when you're going after a suspect is to bring the lawyer. That always makes sense.
Prosecutor.
Yeah, the prosecutor. Okay. I was like, why are you there?
Like, I gotta see this shit for myself.
Like, why not just make his character a cop? That would have actually made more sense. Like, maybe he's like the arresting cop and then he's like has to, give a testimony where he's like, oh, I don't remember or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, but making him a lawyer just seems ridiculous because it's like, why is this nigga involved? Like, he wouldn't be. It's super crazy.
I mean, he could be a lawyer, just like, don't be there. Like, don't be.
He's in the middle
with the cops at every turn, right?
Yeah. He's in the middle of all of this shit. It's just kind of hilarious to me.
So the anonymous caller alerts him. The anonymous caller heard that he bust off 6 shots and that he has an empty clip. So he's got an empty gun. The anonymous caller leads him to a police car where the anonymous caller, said he tasered the cop in the car. So he's got to hurry up and get in there. So Darby gets into the cop car. The cop is knocked out. He grabs the cop's gun, holds him at gunpoint and says, start driving, motherfucker, or whatever, however white people talk. And they start driving and they get away. And he holds the cop at gunpoint. He gets a call from the anonymous caller. And it turns out the anonymous caller was the police officer the whole time.
The call is coming from inside the car.
So he comes out and is like, hey, motherfucker, you remember me? You raped my wife and killed her and you killed my little baby girl, motherfucker. And because that's how white people talk, right? And Darby shoots the gun, but it turns out the gun was like gimmicked with some poison or some shit, right?
Like puffer fish and neurotoxin.
Puffer fish.
Yo, where you get the fucking puffer? Well, he's got 10 years. Maybe in 10 years, he flew to Japan to learn about puffer fish and then get the toxin from the puffer fish and then flew all the way back. And apparently this stuff it paralyzes you, but you still feel, you are still aware of everything and you feel pain. So this is the perfect thing to torture people with.
By the way, it was a Caribbean puffer fish. So, it's not that far. It's not that far of a flight.
St. Croix.
Yeah. Right. Like, he got a black girlfriend in that 10 years. They went down to the islands because we don't travel and shit. Nowhere else. And, picked up a couple of puffer fish. No big deal. I like that sort of gimmicky thing, right? He's got the trick gun. It's like Blade with the trick sword and shit. Yeah, I'm cool with it. And then things go off the fucking rails.
Oh, they didn't already.
I mean, this
with the puffer fish poison, like, or after the puffer fish poison went off.
You know what? You're right. You know what I mean?
Shit. I mean, what was the point of even putting it on the rails? It fell off 92 seconds into the
I mean, one could argue they were never even on. Like, they just were never on. Like, fuck this.
So this is funny. So I love this scene, right? Because I love like when psychos torture people. And
he's such a lunatic.
And this dude is strapped onto like this is like Saw. This is like the Saw scene. He's strapped onto this gurney, and he shows him all the shit that he's gonna use and shit. And then he gets out, a good old fashioned box cutter, like the kind you would use at Home Depot to unload boxes and shit. And he said, "This one's for your dick."
But we'll get to that later. Jesus
Christ.
I'll be like, yo, just cut my throat, yo. Let's just get this far. Fuck you, dude. But he can't say anything. He can't even mouth off and hope the guy will freak out and just murder him. Like, it's fucked up. This Caribbean pufferfish shit is unfair. The whole time I was like, he's not going to really do this, right? Like, he's just fucking with him. Like, I'm going to turn you into the police. Then he did, and I was like, "Oh no, this movie is a different this is a different type of film." Made a grave mistake.
Yikes. So he puts on. He starts recording. And
like first, he injected him with adrenaline so he wouldn't pass out.
Oh yeah, so he won't pass out.
Right. Yeah, that's fucked up, yo.
When you poison him.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah.
So he turned.
Mike Bannon has really thought of everything.
He records it, right? And he puts on an Army of Two welding mask, right? And he
I was so close. I almost lost it.
And he takes a saw. He takes a circular saw and cuts through the guy's leg, yo. And like,
that's fucked up, yo. That's fucked up. It's not right, yo. It's not right.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I needed more of that. I needed more of that. Like, if this was a horror movie starring Clyde the Glide Banning, I would fucking watch this shit.
I've never seen Hostel, but that's basically all that movie is, right? Just like horrendous, horrendous torture.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Like, to the point where it's not fun. You know what I mean? Like, part
like
of
they like, show the shit, right?
Yeah, but like things like Saw and other torture porn stuff. Oh, like,
Jesus Christ.
It's fun, right? Like, Hostel isn't fun. Hostel is just
mean.
Yeah, it's mean. I don't want torture to be mean. I want it to be fun. Don't forget
the mirror he put over the guy's head so he could watch himself get chopped up.
Yeah, that's fucked up, yo.
Bugging.
Yo, that's super fucked up.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and he also cuts his eyelids off so that he can't close his eyes. Yo, come on, yo. That ain't right.
That's overkill, yo. Like, I get it. No, I understand all of it 100%, but yo, that's twisted.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta relax, yo. You gotta relax.
Super twisted, dude.
This, I don't think this is overkill. Everything else following this, that's a bit overkill, yo. Like, I get it, right? Like, you got
The dude that killed, the dude that did it, yeah, that makes 100% sense.
Yeah,
right.
But
come on, yo.
The judge?
Yeah. The whole council? Like, we're not right to do that. Like, what the fuck?
He was like, fuck everybody. Like, yo, I ain't even work here 10 years ago, man. Nigga. Goddamn. Right.
What the fuck Leslie Bibb do to you?
Right. She's pretty much an idiot.
She's here to die. Like, that's her whole role, to die.
And to secretly date Chester, whoever the fuck that is.
Yeah, who the fuck was Chester?
I was hoping you guys had.
You're not ready for that. I'm like, are Chester, we supposed to give a fuck who this nigga is?
Chester the Deus Ex Machina. All right, whatever. Darby's remains are found. That head was, Jesus. Evidence ties his death to Clyde. So they go after Clyde, and we cut to Clyde working on vulture wings, apparently. And he hears the cops, so he just starts taking his clothes off. Like, hey,
that was Da Vinci's. That's like a Da Vinci,
his flying machine, right?
Because he's a tinkerer, right?
He's just a tinkerer, guys. Yeah, he's just a tinkerer. He just takes the handles of pistols and inserts
Caribbean pufferfish poison. Right.
Tetra-toxin.
That's what normal tinkerers do, right?
Look at this tea kettle. I'll take it apart. Hey, look at this gun. I'll put neurotoxin in it so I can kill my enemies. Wait, what? I'm sorry? Yeah, it's all the same.
So the kid, cops come in and they bust Clyde Banning. And Gerard Butler in the scene is very much in between his 300 and his Olympus Has Fallen roles, right? Like,
yeah.
He's transitioning from hard body to soft body.
He's still in shape, but it's like, hey, you better keep it up. Hey, you about to lose it.
Yeah, Gerard Butler is starting to rest on his laurels.
This is the last time you would see Gerard Butler with a six-pack, because that fucking party is over.
he's done. They start searching his place, and they find out that this guy's been like studying law for 10 years, and he knows all the ins and outs and loopholes and shit. So they're interviewing him, right? And they start to interview him. We cut to a scene of Nick's family getting a package in the mail. They think it's a DVD player of her recital. Why you would need a DVD player of a recital? I don't know. You were there, but
they deliver it by mail?
Yeah,
Well, they wanted to watch it, so because Nick Rice, as a terrible father that he was, didn't have time to make it to his own daughter's recital.
So
not just one, none of them, because he's a terrible dad.
So the daughter puts it in, puts the DVD in, and it's the snuff film of yeah. This is, just tell her it was a movie.
Like,
tell her it was fake.
Yo, she's 10. Yo, she's not a mental invalid. What are you talking about?
Like, it's, you know, but hey, whatever. They're interviewing this dude, and he's like, hey, I know what you did. Any father would do it. I'm a father too. I understand. And ain't nobody gonna shed a tear for Darby, but I gotta do what I gotta do, right? So,
see, this feels a little too like, like Jamie Foxx trying to be like slick and cool.
Well, like, I figured that was just the kind of the character, right? Because the character is very arrogant. He's very brash, right? Like, oh, I've got a 99% conviction rate. Like, all right, look, I got to do what I got to do, right? Like, plus he's, you know, he's trying to, like the guy said right before, he was trying to soften him up and or disarm him. Like, I got you. Yeah. But like, I got to do what I got to do, man. And he basically talks to him and he thinks that he gets a confession out of him. But Clyde Banning is like, go back and listen to the tapes, nigga. I didn't say I did it.
Right. I'm sitting there.
I would like to do it.
And I hadn't seen this in a while. And I'm like, he didn't say shit.
Yeah. I caught this right away. Like,
they didn't say anything. Yeah. What are you talking about, dummy? he didn't say he did anything.
Right.
I wished, and like I thought it all about it over and over in my head.
I planned it in my head. I wanted them dead. Yes.
See, this is what he's talking about. He was ready to throw that nigga in jail over some semantics.
Yeah.
Right.
So Clyde says, nigga, I ain't confessing nothing. Now, if you want a confession from me, you gotta give me something. He was like, well, what the fuck you want? He was like, I want a Tempur-Pedic. I would like a single a purple mattress for my jail cell. I would appreciate that. And they go ahead and do it.
Yeah, you goddamn right you did.
The district attorney, Jonas Cantrell, orders Nick to give the guy his mattress with a fluffy pillow, right? We go to court. Nigga, this court scene is so fucking funny.
Okay, but hold on a second, because while he's still at the jail, his wife gets through to him and was like, oh, our baby saw the tape. Oh, the snuff film. And he's like, for some reason, he doesn't feel that that's important enough to go home. He's like, nah, you good. Right,
nah, I'm busy.
Tell him. Like,
yo, what is wrong with you?
It's like, look, baby, I've seen 8mm. All right. Just tell her it's fake.
That's a real movie. You know? That's a real movie. Nicolas Cage should be fucking ashamed of himself being in that movie. It's a real movie. they're making snuff films. All right, Nick.
Wow. So they're in jail. He gets his mattress. his cellmate does not look pleased to be in the same room as him.
Now, he wouldn't have made it out that night. He would have killed that dude.
Yeah.
Like, let's get real.
So we go to court. Clyde Banning is representing himself. And Jamie Foxx is like, Your Honor, I know this dude is a psycho. I know it. And if you just give me time to prove it, we can be done with this. But I strongly recommend that you do not give this guy bail. And and the judge is like, all right, what you got to say for yourself, Clyde? And Clyde is like, you know, fucking Roe v. Wade section.
Roe v. Wade. Yeah, he's hitting like all sorts of precedent and all this other shit.
Right. Says that the Brown versus Board of Education says that I'm not supposed that I should get bail because they ain't got no evidence.
These are the only two Supreme Court cases, you know, aren't they?
I mean, no, those are the only ones that really matter, right?
I mean, you're not wrong.
And one of them's about to be gone, so
you talking a lot of shit. Both might be gone, my nigga. Like, just saying.
Vote accordingly. And and the judge is like, you know, I'm inclined to agree with you.
You make very good points.
You make very valid points. You should be a lawyer.
He was like, yeah, after I get done murdering y'all niggas, maybe I'll go back to school.
What the fuck? And this dude was like, you see, that's where you fucked up. You know that this dude has told you that I'm a fucking psycho, and you just about to let me walk out the door. You's a raggedy bitch, and you'll probably take it up the ass.
Yeah, I was like, God damn. I was like, all right, wow.
Like, that was wildly unnecessary, but okay.
You know that shit was ad-libbed. That shit ain't in the script.
He was like, yo, like, there are ways that you can get yourself thrown in jail, yo. You don't have to be like, yeah, I bet you take it up the ass, don't you, bitch? Like,
I mean, look, you guarantee you're going to get held in contempt then. But, I mean, he does make a good point, right? Like, and this is the problem with the character slash what I like about the character is, like, You do empathize with him. You're like, I mean, you're not wrong. Maybe not the best methods by going to prove how right you are, but yeah, he's not wrong. And then he says she takes it up the ass, bitch.
He was like, what the fuck? Like, damn, nigga. I mean, yeah, but
like, maybe that's what I'm into. Fuck you.
Like, what does that have to do with you not getting bailed, nigga?
Like, my man is fine at home. All right. Like, all right, Judge Judy. Relax. Relax.
Man. Like a bitch in heat. Like, Jesus. Right.
Yeah, I was like, yo, all right. Yo.
I gave you some bullshit ass Brown versus Board of Education bullshit. This shit ain't even real. Jump on it.
So,
yeah, believing her to be too easily convinced and eager to get madmen and murderers back on the street, the judge cites him for contempt of court for telling her that she takes it up the ass and orders him to be jailed. I'm sorry, like, that shit is just,
this is really fucking funny.
It's just funny, yo, because it's so out of place, yo. Like, there's a couple of lines in here that's just like wildly out of play. I'm gonna burn the whole system down. It's gonna be biblical. Like, nobody talks like that, yo.
Nobody, Mike Bannon talks like that. It's gonna
be biblical.
Like, I'm gonna start using that term. Yeah, reverends don't even say anything is gonna be biblical. Like, that's just not a thing.
Right. Right. While holding and reading from a Bible. Get the fuck out of here, yo. So they're back in jail. And they're being interrogated, and the dude is like, Clyde is like, I want you to give me something else because I'm going to give you this confession, but there's some more information that I have that you're going to want. And if you want me to give it to you, I need an elaborate steak lunch and an iPod with an iHome speaker system.
Yeah, this movie is so fucking dated. He was like, I need to date this movie. bring me an iPod. Oh, yes, no problem.
And because I need this stuff, because if and you need to get it to me by 1 o'clock, because I have your I have Darby's lawyer captive, or he's missing, and I have information on his right. whereabouts, and you need to get me this information by 9 o'clock or by 1 o'clock. So Nick agrees, and he gets the lunch, but it's delayed by a few minutes because the dude who played the president in that one season of 24 that looks like Nixon.
The warden.
Yeah, he's the warden, right?
Yo, he and does look like Nixon. Wow, that's pretty good casting, actually.
And he's like, yes, Jamie Foxx is like, yo, the dude said we got to get this to him by 1 o'clock. And the warden Nixon's like, yo, fuck him, yo. I don't give a fuck about him. He's a criminal. Fuck him. Commentary. Like, this film is so weird because it's making like all these good points about like the justice system and how fucking evil it is. But like, we can't root for Mike Banning or Clyde Banning.
Why not?
Fucking psychopath, dude.
I was rooting for him.
I mean,
look. Well, I think that says all that needs to be said right there.
What? Fuck them niggas. Fuck the police. Yeah, whatever. Like, I think he went a little too far, like, almost at the end of the movie. But, like, all this other shit, whatever, fuck them. Fuck all of them.
I mean, I personally, if there's anything that I found to be the most egregious part of this movie, it is the warden's actions. This man ordered a fucking T-bone steak. Are you going to give this nigga a spork? How dare you? You know? How dare you? How dare you? Yo, I would have been fucking pissed. I'd be like, yo, take this steak and cut it up for me first. I'm not trying to cut this thing with a spork.
Yeah, and that'd put the warden on my list.
Oh, no, that nigga had like, to
I
die.
I can get in and out of prison whatever the fuck I want. Yeah, he got to die too.
I'd be like, look.
I'm surprised he didn't take the warden out.
I'd be like, oh, I'm getting the spork. What's your cell phone number? What plan you got? I'm holler at you later. Don't worry about it. Oh, spork. How dare you?
The lunch is a few minutes late. Once he has his meal, Clyde provides the location of the lawyer. Nick is too late to save Darby's lawyer as he was suffocated by time mechanized materials while Clyde's lunch was delayed. Basically, if, you know, they had got there, if he had got his lunch on time, he would have gave them the information on time. They wouldn't have been there to save his lawyer. But they didn't. And the lawyer was buried alive.
Yeah. Like he put him in a box that had oxygen tanks in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just all right. Look, I'm with him up until here. Right. You got the accomplice. You got the guy that did it. You got the defense attorney because defense attorneys ain't shit. But everybody else,
I mean, this other guy's a common criminal, right? Like the cellmate, right? Like, what'd this guy do?
He said he was going to split his head open if he didn't give him some steak. Fuck you. You got to go too.
I mean, look, this guy has a very hard line between right and wrong. That guy's a criminal. So he's wrong. I forget what he said he was in there for.
No, he didn't.
He didn't say what he was in there for.
Oh. Like they never discussed why he was okay to be killed. In maybe one of the most gruesome ways possible.
Yeah.
Which is just unacceptable.
Yeah, sure. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of blood.
It's like yeah, that's wildly unacceptable.
Yeah, he took the bone from his steak.
Yeah.
Picked that shit clean and then started stabbing that dude in the neck. He was like, hey, you ever wonder how an iPod works? Here you go. And just point the remote at the iPod and just turn it all the way up. And yeah, he just fucking just wow, that was a lot of blood, dude.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I would like to give the movie one point that I thought was really funny. So they're playing the song that's playing is Eminence Front by The Who. And it's like it's a little on the nose. Like Eminence, you know, like, you know, it's like obviously like being famous or whatever, but it's a front, right? Like it's all about being fake. So like hello, like he's playing the music, like he's giving you like the plot of the movie, like he's just pretending to be one something that he's not. So it's a little on the nose, but I like that song, so I was fine with it. And then he murdered that guy, which was unnecessary. Okay. It was really unnecessary.
No, it was necessary because he needed to get into solitary confinement, and the only the only way to prove that you need to be in solitary confinement is to kill your cellmate, I guess.
That feels like a big jump. Can't you just call the warden a cunt or something? Like, God damn. Punch a guard, man. Just like punch a guard.
Punch a guard. Yeah, that's it. Just punch a guard.
Now, this nigga was like, yo, I got to murder a nigga with a T-bone steak bone. Like, God damn. Is that necessary?
Okay. So they put this dude in solitary confinement. And it's literally under the fucking jail, right? Like what part of the jail? Like, it looks like they're in a sewer system.
basically.
What jail is this? It's possible that the...
I mean, that's how they roll in Philadelphia, right? They just put niggas in the sewer system.
Right. This looks like a Philadelphia library.
Like, they probably built the new fucking jail over top where the fuck he was at.
Probably.
DA Cantrell arranges a meeting with a CIA contact and brings Nick. They learned Clyde the CIA contact, nigga. When the chief of staff of the Frank Underwood administration is scared of Mike Banning.
Yo, when they
need to stop.
They go, when he showed up in this one, they were like, we got a guy who does shit so we can live in the sunlight or whatever. And they picked that nigga. I was like, yo, is Doug Stamper, yo? All right, yo, run, yo. Just run. Doug Stamper is a common criminal. Get out of here.
Doug Stamper was like, yo, put a bullet in that nigga.
He was like, yo, run. Get out of here.
Because that's all you can do. You ain't going to stop him. This nigga's a Terminator. Like, God damn. Like, okay. All right.
This guy, this tinkerer is going to fucking kill everybody. So yeah, nigga, Doug Stamper was scared.
Yeah, that was my favorite little like surprise casting. I was like, wait. Okay, fine.
Right. Fucking Doug Stamper knows where the bodies are buried, though. And he's just like, nah.
Mm-mm. Don't do that.
He gives a little bit of backstory on Clyde Banning. And he says that he was an engineer creating imaginative assassination devices and orchestrating intricate lethal tactics against nearly impossible targets. You know, the shit that God can do.
Pretty much.
They said that he can kill anybody, anytime, anywhere, and that if he's in jail, it's all a part of a bigger plan. If he's in jail, he wants to be in jail.
Right.
So everybody kind of goes back to their bases. D.A. Cantrell and Jamie Foxx's character, they meet with the judge, the one that takes it up the ass, apparently.
Obviously.
And they're talking, and I forget what they ask her for. And she was just like, nigga, I could do whatever the fuck I want. And she picks up a phone and she answers the phone, and nigga, the phone shoots her in the head.
as phones want to do. This is like, I mean, this is pretty crazy because this is 2009. But this happened with the Galaxy phones for a while, right? Like, isn't this is how blowing people's heads off?
Yeah, what do you think Samsung got the inspiration?
They were like, have you seen this classic film? Yeah, that scene is wild.
Yo, I could watch the scene of this woman getting her head shot off by a phone over and over again, yo. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Bam.
I'm a judge. A word? All right.
Yo, this is the scene in the theater. I was like, yo, what the fuck? They're like, God damn. How? Where'd the bullet come from? Because that's what it was, right?
The phone didn't blow up.
No, it looks like the phone blew up.
It's an explosive device. Yeah, it's an explosive device. I don't know. It just looks like the phone shot.
That's what it looked like. Because that's the sound it made.
Right.
It made a gunshot sound. All
right. I want to believe that he tinkered a little mini gun into the phone so that when she says hello, it triggers and then bam, she gets shot in the head with a phone. Her phone. Now, that's the funniest part.
When did he do it? When did he have time to get to rig her phone to blow up?
Her phone. Right. That's the only thing I wish this movie had, right? Like
the Ocean's 11 sort of stuff at the end, yeah, where it shows him doing all this.
Where it shows you how you're doing it. I don't care how you did it. You could have just teleported in. You could have materialized.
Right. He could have created a fucking teleporter. He's a tinkerer, right. After all.
He's a tinkerer. You could literally show him. You could literally show a kid with a controller in his hand, press down up, and see Clyde Banning teleport into the scene to do all the tinkering and then teleport out. It would have been an explanation, and I would have been fine with it.
But, yeah, hey, yo, her getting her head blown off is fucking hilarious.
It is hilarious. Like,
but no, it was a bullet. Like, it had to have been a bullet because it went through her head.
Exactly.
Her head would have just, the side of her face would have been blown off.
Look, you're not getting a bullet
through the head.
You are not getting any argument.
Like, yo, I'm confused.
I like to think that it's just a single bullet. That's like turned that he put in the phone, and then somehow through the magic of tinkering, it turns towards her head and fires into it. Like maybe it's one of those like chunky Nokia phones, right? Like you got a lot of space in this.
It was a flip phone.
Shut up, Terrence.
It's probably a razor. It's a bullet in a razor.
That scene is just bonkers.
It makes no sense. Nope. But it was great.
Yo, it was one of them like little mini Motorola phones.
Yeah, the StarTAC.
Yeah, yo, that shit is false. It's so fucking funny. I've literally been watching it over and over again.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's so funny.
Now, the StarTAC, StarTAC. You knew you were fucking balling when you had one of those. You were a drug dealer.
So, Jamie Foxx goes back to Clyde Banning, and he's like,
well, first of all, when she gets her head blown off, the way they back out of the fucking office is hilarious to me. He was like, back out. Right, I don't know if there's a sniper or some shit.
Nah, I think that's just his instinctual blackness, like, yo, I ain't see shit.
Nah, yo, a white woman is dead. We gotta go.
Like, I ain't see nothing, and you a white man, you gonna sell my ass out. I ain't see nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Who died? Who? I don't know her.
So the Clyde and Nick have another meeting, and Nick is like, you got your revenge. What the fuck? Yo, like, what the fuck is going on? And Clyde said that the murders aren't about revenge. They're about the failures of the justice system. And then he demands to be released and all charges dropped, or he will kill everyone. And Nick is like, you know what? I got to get my fucking family out of here, yo. Like, we can't fucking do this shit. Yeah, he gives him a deadline. He gives him a deadline of 6 a.m. He's like, look, you better release me and drop all charges, or I'm going to kill everybody. And Nick takes precautionary measures. And once 6 a.m. hits, you know, everybody's working hard, right?
He brings them to the jail. Why? Like, this is where the movie makes a leap in logic that even I can't ignore. How their cars are armed is because they passed through a certain area at the jail. How would he have possibly known that they were going to come to the jail? How? That being said, this is genius, and I'm glad they're all dead. It's fine.
So the deadline passes. Everybody's scared, right? They're like, oh, shit, like, it's 6 o'clock. And Jamie Foxx is like, see, nothing happened. Look, everybody, go home. Take a night, and we'll hit this thing hard in the morning, right? And everybody gets in the cars, and everybody's car just blows the fuck up, yo. Like, it is glorious. And we see Leslie Bibb's character, and she's sitting in her car, and she sees all these cars blowing up, and she's trying to get out. She's like, oh, shit, I can't get out. Am I going to die? And yeah, you're going to die. Like, I'd have tried a little harder to get the fuck out of that goddamn car.
I'm going to try to donkey kick that window out, my nigga.
Yeah, I'd kick the window out. Yeah.
I'd have did anything I could to get the fuck out of that goddamn car. Nah.
That's how they get you. Like, nope.
Yo, what? Her character was literally there to die.
She ain't served not a single fucking purpose. Right. How fucked up is it?
Because of Chester or whatever, whoever the fuck that was.
Right, like, so her whole purpose was to date a man, and the man became more valuable than she was. Am I telling something that's false? It's not.
Well.
We treat women like shit movies. Yeah, we really do, yo. Like, a man who never makes it on camera is more important to the story than she is.
Doesn't say a word, doesn't make it on camera, has literally one line of dialogue, and it is typed.
Right.
And right. It basically saves the day.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
Saves the day.
Oh, shit. And he's probably white because his name is Chester.
Yeah, it's the guy from Linkin Park.
Yeah, Chester Bennington.
Rest in peace.
Oh, shit, man. Nick meets with Clyde in private. And they're like him and the detective, the dude from Star Trek. The fuck is that dude's name?
Cole Meany.
He meets with him in private. And Jamie Foxx beats the shit out of him, right? Like, he punches him because, like, nobody kills my white woman, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, they had a real. I'm like, is Jamie Foxx fucking this woman?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, I mean, like, in real life, like on the side. I don't know. Wasn't she in Lost?
That would explain that light skinned ass daughter.
Yeah.
He just picked the daughter up from the white woman and took her home. Regina ain't notice.
nah, she ain't notice. Nah.
Movies are weird.
I mean, look at all the ridiculous shit that's happened in this movie. I wouldn't be surprised if Clyde Banning was able to fool Regina Hall into thinking she was pregnant, but then really wasn't.
You know what I just realized as you're saying that? You know what this is? This is Nemesis. This is a Nemesis comic. I've collapsed the womb of your sister. Like, yo, it's a Nemesis comic. Yo, Mark Banning is a ridiculous character in this movie.
I fucking love it. So yeah, they beat the shit out of him, and he yells at him in frustration that if they had tried Ames and Darby together, they might have both gotten free. Clyde counters that Nick didn't care that if he at least tried but failed, Clyde would have accepted it, right? Like, he would have accepted the fact that, well, you tried, you failed, the justice system doesn't work all the time.
But no, yeah, I'm not buying that.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense either, because the justice system failed in one way, or it failed in another way. But because it failed in this way, you're going to kill everybody and it's going to be biblical. But you'd have been okay if it failed the other way.
Where they both got off?
And it would have been earthly? Like, nah, yo.
Like, he could have at least tried.
Right, but I'm not buying Mike Bannon being like, yeah, I'm cool with this. He would have been like, no, I'm going to kill y'all anyway. He wanted, look, he just wanted to kill people in elaborate ways, which is highly entertaining, but you're gonna lie about it. You just wanted to do that shit.
You just wanted to get revenge on your, and it would have been revenge at that point. You know?
Yeah.
Instead of just like trying to teach everybody a fucking lesson.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Nick demands an end to the killings, but Clyde tells him that it's just the beginning. And he's going to destroy the corrupt system and all who believe in it. While leaving the funeral of Leslie Bibb's character, the district attorney Cantrell is killed by a fucking robot.
Yo, this scene was fucking nuts. Yo.
Again, how? When?
The fucking bomb disposal robot has like 50 has a gun with a caliber of bullets so big that it's for anti-tank
shit. Right, yo, I'm like,
tanks, nigga. Tanks.
This is just a Suburban. It made that Suburban into fucking Swiss cheese.
It really did. Oh, we forgot to mention Annalise Keating in that movie. You skipped that part.
Yeah, she's the mayor. She's mayor.
Fuck you, Terrence. Annalise. That woman has a real name.
Viola Davis.
Yes.
Doesn't How to Get Away with Murder take place in Philly?
I'm not sure.
Same universe.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Same universe. She eventually becomes the mayor of Philadelphia. Yo, not only does this robot have like a 50 cal on it, it also has a rocket launcher on it. I don't want to bury the lead on that. They then, after shooting this thing 100 times, like, it then blows it up with a grenade launcher or a rocket launcher. You could have just led with that, I guess.
What an inefficient way to destroy a vehicle.
Just shoot it one time. They're like, nah, fuck that.
Maybe he saw that, maybe he was holding a rocket launcher, you know, because those are probably more expensive, I would think. And he saw the district attorney still had a little bit of life left. So it was just like, all right, you know what? Just blew the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. But I like the deaths in this movie. They're really good. Very, very good.
Thank God.
Yeah, Cantrell's killed by a fucking robot. They see the robot. They see an 8-foot barrel on the fucking robot, and they're like, "What the fuck is that?
Run, nigga!" This movie is insane. Like, yo, he drove a fucking robot with a 50 cal on it just right up next to them in a cemetery. I just want to point out, like, nobody noticed?
Yeah, was it initially?
Right, that's my thing. Like, where the fuck did he put it?
Where was it?
He just had it behind a gravestone, like, shh, don't tell nobody.
And then he just rolled that bitch into the open and just started firing on a fucking Suburban.
Amazing.
Yeah. Just tearing up gravestones. Fuck everybody else in the goddamn, like, all right.
I mean, it's Philadelphia. Nobody important is buried.
nobody noticed. Nobody.
They're like, damn, did y'all get new gravestones? This shit is nice.
Nick is ready to.
Don't add us, Philadelphia listeners. Don't you dare.
Yeah.
Take
a joke.
Like, oh, no, I wasn't joking. I was just
like your fucking city. Take a joke.
I forget who it is. There's one woman in our group who's from Philadelphia. She's like, yo, fuck y'all. It's like, you're right. We're garbage. We know.
Nick is ready to give his resignation, but Mayor Annalise is like, nope, we're going to put the city on lockdown, and I'm going to promote you to district attorney. Talk about failing up. First of all, you can't make me do shit. If I don't want this fucking job anymore, I don't want this fucking job anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. She should have just made him attorney general for the entire United States, because he is basically a super cop at this point. Like, fuck it. Like, I guess I didn't catch that he was like a government lawyer, because she's like, I should fire you. I was like, bitch, I work for a private firm. You can't fire me. And she was like, oh, I'm going to make you attorney general. I'm like, or district attorney. I was like, oh, okay. Sorry. Totally missed that. Thanks. I just completely blanked out on that.
Nick, you missed it because Nick is somewhat competent at his job, and you wouldn't think that a government lawyer would be.
That's true.
Especially one from Phil of fucking Delta. Nick learns that Clyde owns an auto garage near the prison. And
No. You're burying the lead. How did he find out, Micah?
This is
from the most important character in the movie.
He got an email from Chester at davis.net, whatever the fuck that is. He got an email from Chester, who had all this info. First, there are so many questions. Not just who is Chester, right? How did Chester come about this information? How does Chester know the Jamie Foxx's email address?
I think he was emailing the woman that he was dating, and then Jamie Foxx just used her laptop.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because it says to Sarah Lowell.
Okay.
At philadea.gov.
Okay.
So, Jamie Foxx wasn't sent the email. He stole the emails of a dead woman. That's what happened in the movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
And as a government lawyer, she was being fed illegally stolen information. But hey, fuck civil rights, whatever. Right? That's the whole premise of this film.
So he finds out that Clyde owns an auto garage near the prison. They go investigate the auto garage. Colmeny is like, so we just gonna break into this thing? What about this guy's civil rights? And the government lawyer is like, fuck his civil rights.
I'm like, yo, one, I mean, I agree, but yo, don't do that.
I mean, given the circumstances, yes, but at the same time, like, no.
That's unacceptable behavior.
No. Like, if you were to have resigned, like you said you would, then I'd be all about, like, yeah, fuck your civil rights.
Right.
But nah, you're a lawyer, yo. Like, that's your... The whole job is to uphold the law.
Is it?
All right, fair enough.
It's supposed to. Yeah, go back and listen to the tape. I said it's supposed to. doing it. Now give me a mattress. So they find a tunnel that leads to a cache of guns, disguises, and other equipment below the solitary confinement cells, with secret entrances to each cell, because he didn't know which one he was going to be in. So he just had to create entrances for all of them.
Right.
That certainly is convenient, isn't it? was there no one in solitary confinement that whole fucking time? Or I guess over like 10 years, he'd been like shifting in and out.
Sure.
It's a lot of work. It's a whole lot of work.
But hey, he's got 10 years of nothing to do, I guess. He realizes that Clyde wanted to be in solitary confinement all along. This allowed him to easily leave prison without detection and carry out his premeditated murders while misleading the police, who have assumed the murders to be the work of accomplices. Where are we? I'm trying to hurry up towards the end. Because we're pretty much almost done. Clyde is able to sneak into City Hall and
as a Latin man,
yeah, apparently, and he is able to put a briefcase full of what is essentially napalm, is what the movie says.
That didn't make sense.
It's napalm hooked up to a Nokia phone.
You can't destroy those phones.
To a brick, right? Hooked up to a Nokia brick. And this cop who says, this is virtually napalm. This not a bombs expert, right? A cop who says this is virtually napalm. And it looks like it's hooked up to this phone. I say we got maybe 30 seconds. If it's armed, nigga, how do you know that?
Well, he said initially he was the bomb squad. I was like, this is the best they got? This dude?
Right.
Get the fuck out of here, yo. No.
That's how shitty Philadelphia cops are. They just assign one random Mexican dude. Like, nah, you bomb squad, my nigga. Like, I don't know nothing. You in the bomb squad. That's you. You.
You Mexican. You can do it. You got a bunch of jobs. Now you got one more. You a bomb squad.
Like, I don't want to do this job. They got cartels down there? Yeah. They got bombs? Yeah. You bomb squad. Then don't worry about it.
All right. I'll figure it out.
All right, Javier. Knock it out.
Niggas men can't find Clyde. They discover the phone-activated suitcase bomb planted in the room directly below the meeting, which is why he's like, oh, yeah, this will definitely take out this room and the one above it because that's where the mayor is or whatever. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Pretty sure that's gonna happen.
Right. And, like, look, I'm not in local politics. Like, that's not my thing. But I'm pretty sure that often, and maybe this is only Philadelphia, but does all the important people in that city, do they meet at a table for the Knights of the Round? Like, you know, why are they meeting like that? It was just very odd to me.
Really bizarre.
They're like, we need to talk about Philadelphia business. Get a giant round table. Okay.
Do you think this is where they all met when they decided that they wanted to put a statue of a fictional character in their city?
We have important decisions to make.
What pose is Rocky statue gonna do?
I mean, look, we laughing now, but if they decided they were gonna put a Stringer Bell statue of Baltimore, niggas would vote for that shit. Like, we, you know, damn well. Nah, like Omar, like, yeah, you gotta do that. Omar coming, I get it.
Oh shit,
I'd support that. By the way, I'd be more supportive of that than a Rocky statue in Philadelphia. Yeah, that's definitely where they did their important business. Should we fix the Liberty Bell? Nah, fuck it, leave it.
Oh man, so So Clyde returns to his cell and is surprised to see Nick waiting for him. Clyde suggests another deal, but Nick, having finally come to understand him, says that he no longer makes deals with murderers. And the guy's like, yeah, good for you. You learned your lesson. Good for you. And
a pretty good teacher.
Nick tries to reason with Clyde, but Clyde is like, nah, yo, I got to do this shit, yo. And he's like, if you do this, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. He's like, no, I got to do this, son. So he calls the phone. And then Jamie Foxx is like, oh, let me dip out. I said you're going to regret it for the rest of your life, which is about 25 seconds from now. And then Nick does the slowest jog to save his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, you got to move a little bit faster.
That shit is about to blow up. You better haul ass. Like, stop trying to look cool, yo. Nah. Like, get the fuck out of here. And Clyde, realizing that it's too late because he found the bomb in his cell, he accepts his fate. Clyde smirks, having finally taught Nick a lesson that one has to work outside the system to stop some people. That's the lesson?
That's not the lesson. I thought the lesson was go to your kid's recital. Like, don't fuck up.
Right. I thought the lesson was don't make decisions for your client without talking to him first.
Yeah, that's it. Just ask. Just ask. You want to do this? No. All right, we're good. I did enjoy the ending of like the bomb going off and it just being like a cascade of fire across the walls. I thought that was cool until the explosion. You don't see that often enough in movies. So you can actually see people like in the moment of death, which I appreciate it.
It looked cool.
Yeah.
He blows up. And an epilogue, I guess the lesson was to go to your kid's recital because that's what the fuck he did at the end. He went to his kid's recital and had flashbacks of a guy getting lethal injection, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the movie.
Okay. Yeah. Look, again, not bad. It's fun.
This movie's fun, yo. This movie's fun in the moment. Like, the second. And I mean the second you put any thought into this movie, it's done. Like,
no, it collapses on itself. Are you kidding me? under the weight of its pure bullshit. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, in the moment watching it, it's fun.
I have a couple of this movie has sparked a couple of thoughts on future No Time to Bleed. One of which gonna have a little bit. Oh no. I'll tell you guys offline. One of which we'll have a little bit hard time finding, so I'm gonna have to wait on that one. But I have another one I think would work really well too. All right, that's it for this month's episode of No Time to Bleed. Thank you guys. That was a lot of fun. And we will see you guys next time.
See you.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.